would like to start with a Hurricane Helene relief. We saw that bill last week pass the House that would give those in Western North Carolina about $500 million in relief. Do you anticipate this bill passing the Senate or maybe some alterations to it?
Definitely alterations, in large part because no bill rarely gets through both chambers without changes. I will say that the House did a great job of making $100 million that we already appropriated before to go ahead and be used for forgivable loans. One of the challenges that we have is that there is a revenue loss, an extreme revenue loss for many of the businesses and also for the municipalities there. And so we have to be serious in considering grant programs and also revenue streams and revenue replacement, which is currently not in the works. So I hope that as it moves through the Senate, that we look at making sure that municipalities can have some type of a cash flow addressed and then revenue addressed for what is going to be lost for, you know, a couple of quarters or maybe even several. And then we also have to make sure that our small businesses who have lost everything are able to continue to keep their employees and to be able to maintain. Because at the end of the day, if we know that people can stay where they live, they are more likely to remain there instead of moving to a different area and never returning.
Yeah, as it relates to aid for Western North Carolina, plus the budget, we hear a lot about the rainy day fund. There's also talk about the state health plan as well that needs to be addressed. How do you balance addressing all of those things as it comes to a budget process?
Yeah, great question. I think that it's been really fortunate that we do have a rainy day fund. The legislators from both sides of the aisle would argue, I assume, as to what levels we should spend down the rainy day fund. I think that we clearly are in a rainy day in North Carolina. It's not just what happened with Hurricane Helene, but people are still, of course, in eastern North Carolina, having had several floods years after year, are still trying to recover from that. So we have to make it pretty clear what our priorities are in North Carolina and use some of the rainy day funds to make us whole. The federal government, we're waiting. Again, we're all being whiplashed back and forth with regards to the funding streams being cut, paused, et cetera, in litigation. So there is money that should hopefully come from the federal government for Helene. But as you said, there's a lot to do with regards to the state health plan and trying to make that whole and viable as years come. It's had several years in which we have been working probably in a deficit and need to relook at that. So I'm happy that we're in a different position now with the treasurer trying to figure out how to keep it solid.
I want to change gears on you if I could. There are a couple of bills that have made their way through the final committee last week, could be up for a vote in the Senate this week, and would like your perspective. First is Senate Bill 55 that would require school districts in our state to put in policies to ban mobile devices during instruction time in the classroom. There's a similar bill now, as you know, in the House. Curious your perspective on this bill and how you work to get these two bills aligned as one law in North Carolina.
Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of research and a lot of work that's been done in this space regarding the distractions that cell phones have for our kids in school, and therefore they're not learning at their optimum. You and I were in school, phones were not an option, right?
No.
So our teachers had undivided attention. Right now, kids are distracted by so many other things and live in an electronic world where most of them are using laptops just to learn. And so I definitely support the bill. I do think that as a parent of school-age children and middle schoolers, I am concerned, as we have seen an increase in active shooter red alerts that have occurred and have actually been active shooters on campuses across our state, that we're really make sure that kids can have access to their phones in cases of emergency. And so there is technology that would be able to only allow them to use it for certain situations. I don't know that the legislature will fund that, but I do think that there needs to be tweaks to the bill so that, yes, our children can learn, but in cases of emergency, as a parent myself, I want to make sure that my children can, of course, text me in those situations as well.
What do you make of that bill that would further handcuff the attorney general and not allow him to sue the president over executive orders?
Yeah, it's really fascinating how this legislature has now decided under GOP leadership in the corner offices to continue to take power away from duly elected individuals. Attorney General Jackson was elected by the people of North Carolina, and he is the people's attorney. So to go ahead and handcuff him and say, you know what, you can only do things from that the legislature tells you you can do is extremely problematic. I think one of the other issues that people don't realize is that Attorney General Jackson only actually took action on, I think, 4 or 5% of all of the executive orders that have been put in place. Interestingly enough, he has joined with many attorney generals across the state and asked for TROs, so temporary relief with regards to the orders. And because of that, we still have NIH funding and other issues. States that did not actually participate in that litigation, all of their federal funding has been frozen, and therefore their states are not getting the same benefit that we are now getting in North Carolina, because he was extremely astute of just saying, hey, we got to go ahead and file the TRO. So I think it's extremely foolhardy for anyone to think that we are, as a legislature, the best at trying to figure out what's best for the state. We represent our district. He represents the state and its people, and I think we should allow him to do his job.
Visiting with Senate Minority Leader Sidney Batch, a competing bill, Senator, in the House and the Senate as it relates to DEI. Curious your perspective on those bills and the impact they could have on our state.
Yeah, so some of them, it's interesting. Some are saying, oh, yeah, it's just an employment hiring. Others go a little further. I think one of the challenges that we face is that just saying that diversity, equity, inclusion is something that we as a state don't want to embrace, so that it's somehow giving one person a handout or a hand up, I think is a disingenuous argument. When we're looking at the amazing state that we live in and the diversity that it brings, it's really important for us to be able to hire the best talent. And no one's saying that we should hire someone just because they're a woman or because they have some disability or because they happen to have melanation in their skin. At the end of the day, we're actually saying continue to do what we've always been doing, which is following the law and hiring the best talent. The challenge with these is that it pushes back on a false narrative that people who may not actually look like the majority are somehow inept or incapable of being able to get the jobs that they have. So I think that it's unfortunate that we're focusing on that when we have so many other challenges in North Carolina, including the fact that right now Medicaid expansion population is probably going to actually disappear because federal funding is going to decrease their share, and we already have trigger language in our state. So while people want to run around with their hair on fire about DEI, we should really be concerned about the fact that 600,000 North Carolinians won't actually have health insurance in maybe particularly a matter of months.
How do you combat that? Is there anything that the legislature can do to combat those that are possibly going to lose their health insurance?
Yeah, we absolutely could. So we could start working. I mean, the way that the law was put in place is that as soon as the the FMAP, right, so the federal share of Medicaid that the federal government pays, which is 90%, goes down any amount, then it just ceases to exist in North Carolina. We would have to legislate and immediately go in and try and figure out how to tweak that language. I think that's something that we should work on now. That is not something that I believe has been at the forefront or on the priorities of some of the Republicans and leadership in the building. That is sad and unfortunate because Medicaid expansion has actually disproportionately helped rural North Carolina. And especially when you look at Western North Carolina right now and all of the needs that they have, taking the health care away from Western North Carolinians, I think is cruel.
Senator, last thought as I let you go. This is not the purview of the Senate, but would like your perspective on the state Supreme Court race between Justice Allison Riggs and Judge Jefferson Griffin and how we get to a resolution in that Supreme Court race.
Yeah, I hope that the courts will act with expedience. The Supreme Court had the ability to take it up and said, no, we're going to allow the Court of Appeals to do that. You know, this is a dangerous precedent to set with regards to saying that you can go ahead and challenge any vote that you want. My sister is one of the individuals who actually has been challenged as the 60,000 voters that Justice Griffin has challenged, and she has lived in Chapel Hill her entire life and in that house and that we grew up in. So it's interesting that we are now putting ourselves in a position where we're politicizing absolutely every aspect of our day-to-day lives, and especially when it comes to elections, where that should be one area where we know it's nonpartisan and it's being executed accordingly, and that your vote counts is one of the things that is now eroding. And I'm very concerned that if we start this pattern, it does not matter whether Republican or Democrats are in charge, someone's going to start challenging every single race and pick off votes, and that's not the way that we should actually handle and deal with our democracy.
Senate Minority Leader Sidney Batch, Senator, always appreciate the time and the perspective and look forward to visiting again sometime soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.